In a few hours' time, guess what's going to happen? The clock is going to turn, or the pointers on the clock are going to turn, and we're going to enter into a new year, 2017. In fact, the reality is, folk, that none of us really know what 2017 is going to bring. None of us can say with any assurance what 2017 is going to bring us. We don't know the joys and the thrills and the problems and the difficulties that we're going to have as we enter this new year. But I think that we can say with some degree of assurance that if in 2017 we as people who love God will set our hearts to seek the Lord, that he will be found of us. That's his promise, that if we search for him with all of our hearts, we will find him. And if we will do that in 2017, I am absolutely convinced that our walk and our relationship with him will be enriched. And this time next year, we'll all be better people. We'll all be people who love God more than we do at this moment in time. In Scripture, the passing of years means little. It's events. It's God appointments. It's seasons which really matter. It was in the fullness of time that God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, at the right time. It was a season. When Jesus was just about to ascend back into heaven, the disciples said to him, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons." It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. So God doesn't deal in years so much. He deals in events. He deals with the things that happen in a certain time. So really, friends, there's nothing special about the last day of a new year. And there is nothing special about the first day of a new year, which we'll be into tomorrow. Nothing at all special. The Bible makes no sentimental reference to birthdays, to anniversaries, or new years. In other words, nothing will change once the second pointer ticks over from 12 o'clock tonight to into this new year. Nothing will change. Nothing will change for you or for me, apart from the date on the calendar. We all live in a busy world, and most of us are busy people. And this has been shared in testimony this morning. It's so easy to get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of everyday life that we've got no time to reflect, no time to think, no time to meditate. And life goes on. And very quickly the weeks turn into months, and the months turn into years. And before long, we'll be back here again at the eve of another year. And I don't know about you, the older you get, the quicker time seems to go by. And it'll seem like no time at all until we're back here next year, looking back at 2017 and looking forward to 2018. That's why you get the expression, how many times have you heard it? Doesn't time fly? And it does. It goes very quickly. So for that reason, anything that will make a break in the even flow of our everyday lives, it's got to be commended. Anything that will cause us to stop and reflect, to stop and think, well, it's got to be a good thing. And I think that's this morning, what this morning's all about. In the busyness of our lives, Today we are stopping, we are reflecting, we are thinking about what has gone in 2016. And I've been blessed by those testimonies this morning. And what is to come in 2017. It causes us to stop and think the road that's passed and look forward to the road that lies ahead. Over the past year, newspapers have been printing stories in abundance. Yet I wonder how many of us really stop and ask the question, what is the story of my life? How is my life panning out? What story is my life telling? God has laid a word on my heart this morning that I trust will bring a challenge to us all. And I've entitled what I want to share with you this morning, 2017, a year to seek the Lord. 2017, a year to seek the Lord. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says this, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Hosea 10 and verse 12 says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you." 1 Chronicles 16 verse 11. "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore." And David in the Psalms, Psalm 27 verse 8, he says, "My heart says of you." There was something in David's heart that was reaching out to God. He says, "My heart says to you, seek his face." To which he responds, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." The year 648 BC, it's a long time ago, it may bear no significance whatsoever to any one of us. Yet for one man, the year 648 BC was a year that marked a significant change in his life. It was the 16th year of his life. He was 16 years old. The man's name was Josiah. And this year, 648 BC, would change the rest of his life. Josiah, he was the young king of Judah. He was only 8, the Bible says, when he came to the throne. His father, King Amon, was assassinated. And at the tender age of 8 years old, this boy was given the throne of Judah. Israel at that time was split into 2 kingdoms, the north and the south. He was king of the southern kingdom. And no doubt he would have mentors around him. Perhaps the people who put his father to death, who assassinated his father, perhaps they were the ones who mentored the young king, who he was like, a puppet king, until he would come to that age where he could bear the responsibility of the kingdom. But at the age of 8, he came to the throne. And we read in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3, "On the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, 16 years of age, he began to seek the God of his father David." Perhaps the awesome responsibility of the throne and the kingdom, he realized that he needed greater help than the men around him. And he began to seek the God of his father David. So the year 648 for him, for Josiah, was a very significant year. At the age of 16, he began an intense and a concentrated effort to draw near to God. He began to seek the God of his father David. He began to seek God with an earnestness and a zeal that he hadn't sought God in the past. He was obviously a believer in Jehovah. But this year marked a change. He began to see God in such a way like he'd never sought God before. Earnestness, there was zeal there. I want to tell you, friends, when you begin, that's why the Bible says, if you search for me with all of your heart. When you begin to seek God with all of your heart, I want to tell you, you will find him. This is what the Bible really means when it says that in Hebrews that God is a rewarder of those who diligently, notice that word, diligently seek him. This is not half-hearted stuff. It's heart, it's soul. It's those who will diligently seek him. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. Those who seek me with all their hearts shall surely find me. God always rewards those who diligently seek him. And at the age of 16, with this tremendous weight of responsibility upon this young guy's shoulders, he began to seek the Lord. The Bible tells us that he was a good king, and he walked in the ways of David, his father. Of course, David wasn't his father. His father was Ammon, King Ammon. I've just told you he was assassinated. He was a wicked king. He did vile things. To top that, his grandfather, Ammon's father, Manasseh, was the worst king that Judah ever had. He did abominable things. So he is this young guy growing up in the midst of corruption, vileness, idolatry. The worship of God had gone out of the land. On every hill, the Bible tells us that there was altars set up to foreign gods. And the name of the Lord Jehovah wasn't named amongst the people of Israel. Ammon did, and certainly Manasseh, his grandfather, did horrible things. There was gross spiritual darkness in the land, and the people were as far away from God as you could ever get. Maybe that was the motivating factor in his life. You know, you've got to have a motivating factor to begin to seek God. There's got to be something that triggers it. Maybe it's just an intense cry in your heart like David had. My heart says to you, seek my face, because you're not satisfied with where you are. You're not satisfied with your life. Maybe it's like some have shared this morning, like Colin shared. Maybe you've messed up in certain areas. And you know things are not in right order as far as God is concerned. But there's got to be that trigger. There's got to be that motivating factor to cause a person to seek God. The Bible says Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in all the ways of David, his father. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. David was a man after God's own heart, and David knew what it was to have a heart after God. And here was this young boy, Josiah, this young man with a heart after God. During his reign, he introduced great reforms in the temple worship. That had ceased. The people no longer worshipped the Lord. But under Josiah's reforms, the people began to worship God again. After many years of abstinence, the people celebrated the Passover again under Josiah's instructions and during his reign. He destroyed every vesture of idolatry out of the land. When he was 20 years of age, he went throughout the land and he tore down every idol altar that had been built. He burnt them. He scattered the bones, he scattered the dust, the Bible says, on the people who would worship them and the priests who worshipped these idols. He sanctified the land. He rid it of all the wickedness that was there. There was not a king, the Bible says, before or after him, who was more earnest and zealous to rid the land of wickedness than was Josiah. When he was 25, he decided that he would repair the temple. And the temple had fallen into ruin. And under Josiah's reign, they repaired the temple. And he sent workmen in, paid for it himself. He sent workmen in and they beautified the house of the Lord. They cleansed it from all the wickedness that had been taking place there. And while they were in the temple, the high priest, I just forget his name now, he found the book of the law of Moses. And they brought this book of the law of Moses to Josiah. And when he read it, his heart was broken. When he read what God had commanded them to do and how far they'd gone away, his heart was broken. And he sent it to, I think her name was Huldah, the prophetess, and said, "What's going to happen to us? We have gone so far away from God. What's going to happen to us?" The words that came back from Huldah were comforting for Josiah because he'd humbled his heart before God. God said, "The destruction that's coming, it won't come in your day. You will go to your grave in peace. But for the abominations that have gone on the land, judgment will certainly come. But the comfort to you, Josiah, because you've humbled your heart, you won't see it with your eyes." Josiah called the whole of the nation. He called them to the temple. And there before God, they made a covenant with God. First of all, Josiah, then all the people of the land made a covenant that they would follow the Lord with all of their hearts. All that Josiah accomplished for God could be traced to that year of 648 BC, the year he began to seek God. It wasn't his birthday. It wasn't a special day. It was a day in the year 648 BC when he was 16 years of age, when he made a decision, when there was a moment in his life when he decided that from here on in, he was going to make God the pursuit of his life. From here on in, he was going to seek God with all of his heart. I think this is what Jesus meant when he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else, all that you're looking for, make this the main pursuit of your life. Seek first the kingdom of God." This is a time when many people make New Year's resolutions. And folks, they don't usually last, if we're honest. What a difference it would make to every one of us here today if we made the decision that in the year 2017, this would be a year when we began to seek God. Not to say that we haven't sought God before, but this would be a year when we would begin to seek God with a greater intensity, a greater desire, a greater zeal, a greater earnestness, a greater diligence than we've ever sought God before. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to make every day of the 365 that are before us in 2017. Days that will find us seeking God in a manner that we haven't done so in the past. Seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your hearts. I pray that we will make 2017 such a year. And if we are going to seek God in 2017, there are some things that are fundamental that have got to be part of that seeking of God. There's some things that I've got to do and you've got to do that nobody can do for us. But I want to tell you, friends, it's quite universal because these things affect us all. Can I say, if we are going to seek God with all of our hearts, every one of us here have got to find time for that quiet time, for that secret place where we go and do what Jesus said. We close the door. Hallelujah. We pray to our Father in secret, and our Father who sees in the secret place will reward us openly. Every one of us, that, friends, if you want to go on with God and if you want to seek him, you've got to guard this time. I've got to guard it, because let me tell you, the enemy will try and rob us from it. He knows the importance of it. The Bible says it's they that wait upon the Lord that shall renew their strength. I'm not talking about something legalistic. I'm talking about an intense desire that our meeting with God is the most important meeting of the day. And we go and we lock ourselves in that place. And the Word of God becomes alive to us, just like it came alive to Josiah. When the Word of God was opened to him, and suddenly there was a revelation of God that he'd not seen before. I pray, friends, that this book will be our closest companion in 2017. That we'll not only read it, the Bible says we will to meditate in it day and night. Because let me tell you, if we will get this word into us, this word will become a fire in us. Let me hide your word in my heart, David said, that I might not sin against you. The closer we get from this word, friends, the closer we get to sin. This word will be a mirror to us. And let us not only read it and meditate upon it day and night. That's every day. But let this word become to us something that it became to Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua when he was going into Canaan, a new beginning for him. He said, observe to do all that is written in it. Let's not just read the word. Let's be not be forgetful hearers. The Bible says become doers of the word. And whatever God says to us, let's do it. Let's be obedient. Let's take heart from what Colin said this morning. If there's any disobedience, anything the Holy Spirit is highlighting, let's be diligent to put it right. The Word of God, friends, this year, if we are going to seek God with all of our hearts, we can't do it without this. Because the more we get of the living, the written Word, the more we will receive of the living Word. Then can I say that every one of us in 2017, and without this, friends, we will fail miserably. We've got to keep full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. And every day of 2017, if we want to seek God with all of our hearts, we've got to keep full of the Holy Ghost. We've got to keep full of the power and the anointing of the Spirit. I want to tell you, if you speak in tongues, That is the greatest way that you can keep full of the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues to yourself every day. Build yourself up in your holy, most holy faith. When was the last time you spoke in tongues to yourself? When was the last time you edified yourself? People say, how can I get filled with the Holy Ghost? Be filled with the Spirit, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's talking about speaking to yourself in other tongues, building yourself up in your most holy faith. Because I'll tell you what will happen, friends, when we are full of the Holy Ghost. We will not need anybody to twist our arms to witness. When we are full of the Holy Ghost, we will want to tell people about Jesus. Evangelism will become our number one priority. It will become the main thing in our lives when we are full of the Holy Ghost with great boldness. After they were filled with the Holy Ghost, with great boldness, they preached the Word of God. Everywhere they went, the power of God and the anointing of God was upon them. You know, I forget who it was now, said about, I think it was Jeremiah. He said, I made a decision that I wasn't going to speak anymore in your name. But he said, while I was thinking about these things, you see, when he was speaking in the name of the Lord, he got persecuted. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And he got sick of the persecution. He said, I made a decision. I'm not going to speak anymore in your name. And then he goes on to say in Jeremiah, he says, but while I was thinking upon these things, the fire inside, it burnt. And he said, I couldn't hold it back. When you are full of the Holy Ghost, friends, you'll not be able to hold it back. And every day, if we are wanting to seek God with all of our hearts in 2017, we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Paul's cry was that I might know him. May that be our cry in 2017, that we might know him. There's still some things we've got to lay aside if we want to seek God with all of our hearts. For some of us, it'll mean more time in this than in front of the telly. It'll mean more time in the quiet place than with the newspaper. You see, friends, what I'm talking about little daily meditations. I'm talking about really seeking God with all of our hearts. Desiring God. I remember when I was just a young Christian, so desiring God, perhaps more than I do now, but I so desired God that this book, the telly was never on. This book and prayer and seeking his face, and it was my life. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about seeking God with all of our hearts. I'm not talking about anything that's legalistic. I'm talking about as the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul, it longs after you, God. A longing after God. Let me say one thing. Fellowship will play a big part if we are going to see God. Do not neglect the assembling of yourselves together. And so much the more you should have fellowship with one another as you see the day approaching. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we need each other. And every opportunity we get for fellowship, we should have it. We should be there. Thank God you folks have made the opportunity this morning. You've took the opportunity. We could have been doing other things today, couldn't we? We're all busy people. But you've taken time out for fellowship. Let me tell you, God will bless you for that. And you will be blessed because of it. Because as iron sharpens iron, so we sharpen one another. And fellowship, as it was in the early church, was vitally important. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking bread, and in prayer. The year 648 BC for Josiah was a tremendous year. A year he never forgot. A year he began to seek God. The year 740 BC means nothing to us. Meant nothing to me either. Until I read about one man on that year who discovered God afresh. 740 BC was a great year of significance for the prophet Isaiah. He, like Josiah, drew near to God, and God drew near to him. The year 740 BC was the year when there was a death in Israel. King Uzziah died. He died in the year 740 BC, and in Isaiah chapter 6 we read, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah went into the temple, and little did he realize what was going to happen to him. But as he went into the temple that day, he said it was in the year that King Uzziah died. He went into the temple, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. He saw the angels of God. He saw the majesty of the God that he served. It's not a significant year for us. But I tell you, friends, it was a significant year for Isaiah. Let's not waste one of the 365 days that are before us. May every one of them find us seeking God, calling upon him while he's near. Seeking him, the Bible says, while he may be found. Seeking him with all of our hearts. For those who seek him will find him. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. May we look back at this time next year, or, God willing, in the years that God spares us, and be able to say that 2017 was a year that I began to seek God. 2017 was a year there was an earnestness and a desire that brought change. That's my prayer for my life. It's my prayer for your life. That 2017 will be such a year when we will seek him with all of our hearts and we'll find him. Friends, if we will, I want to guarantee something right here and now, that if this year we will set ourselves to seek God, I guarantee by this time next year, we'll all be different. We'll all be changed. I wonder, is the response of our hearts this morning like David's was? I guess it is. I guess for most of us, we would say today, in our hearts, you know what this fellow's trying to get over in a stumbling way this morning, is what our hearts are really saying. Our hearts are saying, seek his face. But I want to tell you, friends, it'll take more than our hearts. Because we've got all the good intentions in the world. David went on to say, my heart is saying, I'll seek your face. And then he went on to say, your face, Lord, I will seek. You see, this has got to do with your will. More than just your heart, more than just your emotions. I will bless the Lord at all times. It takes a conscious decision of your will. So it's not just our hearts, it's our wills that God is wanting to submit to him this morning. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Let me finish with one scripture. Psalm 65, verse 11 to 13. It says this, you crown the year with your goodness. Your paths drip with abundance. As I'm reading this, friends, Just think of the abundance and the blessing that God is talking about here. Showering down upon them. You crown the year with your goodness or your bounty. Your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness. The little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with floods. With flocks. Sorry, not floods. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy and they also sing. So everywhere the psalmist is looking, he can see the blessing of God. Abundance and blessing. Showers of blessing. You know, that's God's reward for everybody who will seek his face. I will be found of them. God wants 2017 to be such a year for us that the blessing and the abundance of God will be upon our lives, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we've got to face. We will know the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow. As we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added to us. May we begin today, as we mean to go on through 2017, men and women who are seeking after God, let's endeavor to keep close to him in 2017 every day. And may 2017 for me and for you be a year that we can look back on, like Josiah could look back on when he began to seek God, when Isaiah could look back on when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, that Peter could look back on as an old man. He never forgot that day he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. He said we were eyewitnesses of his glory. He never forgot the day when they heard the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Never forgot the day when Moses and Elijah appeared and the glory of God shone out of Christ so much that his garment was like light. White, so white that no cleaning agency on earth could clean it like it. Never forgot that day. You see, it wasn't the year that was important. It was what happened in that year. 2017, friends, will come and go. It's not what happens in 2017 that's important. It's what happens to us in 2017 that's important. It's my prayer that this year will be a very significant year for every one of us. It will be a landmark year when we will begin to seek God with all of our hearts, diligently. And I pray, Lord, that every one of us here will find you. I pray that the desire of our hearts, the longing this morning, our hearts are saying, "Oh God, we want to seek you. God, we're crying out for the living God. God, I pray that my will every day will submit to that. I pray you'll help me to discipline my life. But, oh God, every day I will draw close to you and you will draw close to me. That, Lord, I might know you. That I might know you, God. Not just know about you, that, Lord, my experience with you will be enriched in 2017. That I might know you like I've never known you before. In all the years I've walked with you, God, I pray that 2017 will be a tremendous year of drawing near to the heart of my Savior and my Redeemer. Bless my brothers and sisters, Lord, and help every one of us as we come close to you at the eve of this new year. Help us, Lord, we pray, to seek your face for Jesus' sake. Hallelujah.